You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
905, you're on The Bench, 713-780-3776. Paul Daner from The Athletic is going to join us to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. What time is he, Aaron? 9:30. We'll do that at 9:30. What time is the Wheelhouse on?
You asking me or Aaron?
Yeah. The guy who hosts the Wheelhouse.
Oh.
I know it's an early show that you had to wake up early. By the way, you like waking up early? Is this fun?
No.
Yeah, well.
I did morning radio for a few years in Austin.
6 a.m.?
As a producer. 6 a.m.?
Yeah, that's the worst.
It was the worst.
Like, Aaron, yeah, shut up.
Yeah, Aaron gets here. What time do you get here, Aaron?
4:30.
Yes. But you learn to... You get here at 4:30?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's why you eat at like 9:30, because it's lunch for you.
No, that's my breakfast.
It is?
Yeah.
See, I eat lunch every day. I'm off the air. I'm like 10 o'clock lunch.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's just my thing. It's doing early mornings can be a little tough. You get used to it. I mean, it turns into a thing. You just get used to not sleeping, basically.
You guys do it right with a three-hour show, by the way. That fourth hour makes a huge difference.
Oh, it is a monster.
I mean, at 6 o'clock, I'm ready to go home.
Y'all are a four-hour show.
4 hours, yeah.
Ugh,
I know. Gross. I hate it.
I did it for a long time, and it is. You have to pace yourself. That fourth hour is a monster.
Yeah.
So you host the Wheelhouse. Tell people when the Wheelhouse is on.
3 to 7.
So when does slander usually take place, and what hour do you guys have slander radio?
For me, it's all 4 hours.
Okay.
But for the other two, it varies. But yesterday...
Jake seems like the most, like... I know Cody. He is a longtime listener of The Bench and the radio we've done. Came out dressed as Santa Claus to 1560. Have you ever seen the Cody when we did offensive and defensive pass? I'll show you some video.
I've heard stories. I haven't seen video.
The parties were pretty good.
Oh, man.
And Cody was dressed up like Santa Claus and did the offensive line drills versus pass rushers. So we've known Cody for years and years. I like Cody.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Cody's. And John is too. But sometimes if you are, like it's happened with me for my time that I've worked with John, it's happened to Aaron, it's happened to Dell, it's happened to anybody that's been around John, you catch stray bullets.
Mm-hmm.
John fires off. It's like being near someone with an automatic weapon and a very itchy trigger finger, and you don't know when he's going to spray, and you'll catch some bullets even if it's unintended. Friendly
fire. His theory is point, shoot, aim.
Yeah.
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 I like that.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission. He's that kind of guy.
And John's, it can happen anytime.
At any time.
Like you said.
At any time. He doesn't pre-plan things. He's not doing anything out of malice. It's just sometimes he'll crack a joke and you may catch a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened yesterday on the show, and I tried to... It happened with John made a comment about one of your co-hosts, and we'll play it here. Aaron, let's play what John said, because I immediately responded like, hey, what? That didn't need to happen. He didn't have to catch a bullet just sitting there in traffic. Here's what John said yesterday.
But they got a Cody, too. I hope yours is a little skinnier. So,
wow.
What's that?
Well, I mean, he's getting skinny.
Just trying to talk to, yeah. I mean, we were talking to this guy. It was Alex Gold.
Used to work here.
Cody and Gold. Yeah. Cody and Gold was the name of the show.
Yeah.
He goes, they got to go, Cody, too. He's just trying to crack a joke. Hope there's the, what does he say? He's in better shape or whatever he said.
Skinnier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, what?
Cross show fat shaming going on from Johnny G.
What in the world? John has on a commercial said people talked about his 9-iron divot out of his head, and then he went to Dr. Linville. Cody has a commercial where he has lost, 60 pounds?
60 pounds.
So I tried to, do what I could.
Yeah.
I tried to do what I could while we still had the guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it made its way back to your show.
It did. You talk about putting a guest in a precarious spot.
It was
how's Alex supposed to respond to that? Hopefully the guy you work with isn't as fat as the guy that we work with.
Hopefully.
Here. Yeah, for sure, man.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Why'd you just spray bullets in Cody Stutz's direction?
I mean, body shaming.
So that got to your show.
It did.
Because people are snitches. They will, if they have a chance to tell one radio guy on another radio guy, they will 100% do it. So what happened? Did Cody like take the high road? Do you have any audio? Did that happen?
We've got a few.
Can I hear for the first time? I've not heard this.
I've got three different cuts of Cody's. I guess we'll call it rebuttal.
Okay.
To John.
Oh, okay.
You want to set it up then, Aaron? Because you've got the cuts. Like I only remember it in real time because it all happened at
one time yesterday. Just play however you want to handle this. I haven't heard any of this. I haven't even been told about this.
And then we'll diagnose. Then we'll go second, third.
Okay, let's go ahead.
I'm gonna take the high road.
Oh, that's not fun.
Take the high road.
Be a bad person. It's not fun being a good person.
Say something.
Okay, immediately I know you're right for this show, and here's why. You're immediately trying to poke the bear. That's your voice.
Yeah.
That's not Jake Asman, who's a good person. That's the voice of kind of a bad person who is trying to intentionally it's called a ship stir, mm-hmm. but we don't say ship.
Mm. What do you say?
Well, I'm saying there was a guy named there were two guys in school named Plez Fields and Kirby Sherrod when I went to school.
Okay.
And I remember my friend Michael Bennis. He was a tight end. We were freshmen in high school. And there's another tight end by the name of Kenny Grant. And Kenny Grant had some drops or did bad, something that happened in practice. And the coaches really jumped on him. And Michael tried to come over after practice as we're walking back to the locker room and say, hey, don't worry about it. It happens. Like he was trying to give him a pat on the back. It was either Kirby or Plez. They immediately said, ooh, why are you dogging Kenny like that? And before you know it, Michael and Kenny, two tight ends, got into a fight.
How about that?
Because the shipsters,
yeah.
but it's not ship, they were doing their job. So when I hear you, your voice, I hear some of that. It harkens back to a different era for me where I would also see that happen on radio.
Pretty cool that you played football with Elaine Bennis's brother back
in
the day.
Yeah, I know.
That is incredible.
I know. So let's, all right, so... hit play again, and let's hear Brad continue to poke the bear.
I'm gonna take the high road.
Oh, that's not fun.
Take the high road.
Be a bad person. It's not fun being a good person.
Say something
that's
about
advice for the kids.
Say something about his commercials. Hey, John, your live reads stink.
No, John's got a lot of commercials. Probably good for the station. He's got a lot of commercials.
You got to give us something.
I just want him to know that the buttons over here on the microphones, they work when there's an interview on, so you can turn it off. So you're not when guys are trying to give answers that we're going to play on other shows that help promote your show, a little cross promotion thing. So the buttons work.
You can turn the microphones off so you don't cough into them, John.
Okay, pause. Now, that's all true. I used to be the serial voice clear with my acid reflux issues. I've gotten them under control for the most part. Occasionally you'll hear it, but mostly it's John when you're hearing it. It's not me anymore.
Yeah, I thought about doing that throughout the course of today's show.
That was not a bad one. And Cody, you could hear the anger kind of bubbling up.
Oh, yeah. I thought about doing...
Did you have to cut that? Like, he didn't just fire out... Like,
no,
was that
was
over
one,
a period of time you cut in between?
That was one section right there.
That just came out of note?
Yep.
So it was bubbling under the surface.
Uh-huh.
So there's another one?
There's two more.
Oh, well, please go ahead.
Did you hear the noise? Did you hear the noise? Because those guys can't turn their microphones off when the interviewer's talking. Did you hear it? It sounded like Granato was eating. It sounds like Granato was trying to catch up to me on the weight, eating in the middle of the interview. Like the...
It works, John. On off button. On off.
This is on.
This is off. Like you got to be real loud for the other microphone to pick you up too.
I was gonna say it still sounds like it's on because people could still hear you.
I heard everything.
Okay. Mm. As number two, so we're still on that. Let's hear number three. Now, I know from losing my temper on radio sometimes that it will. You have flare ups like, and then eventually. Would you consider this the best one?
This is the longest one. The first one is good because he just flips a switch.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I can hear it. I've been there before where all of a sudden it's just like
he's sleeping, race car in the red. Race car in the red.
Yeah.
I'm done with this.
He goes from high road to low road very quick.
You could see it?
Uh-huh.
You could see it happen?
It was bubbling.
Were you proud?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Did you feel like you had a part of it?
I felt like a proud parent who made his kid do something horrible. That's what being a good parent is like, right?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Let's hear the last one.
These microphones are very expensive. They're very good. They pick up a lot of noise. So when you're... it picks it up on the microphone. It doesn't sound good. I want everybody on this station...
Is that a cough? What sound effect was that?
I don't know. They make all sorts
of
ungodly
sounds.
Like a cough,
a throw up in his mouth, and eating something all in one.
They both sound like they're dying at different times.
Now you're bringing Lance into this, too? Lance had your back.
It's great because BK is filling in for John tomorrow on the morning show.
Oh, God.
Make sure you leave your microphone on if you guys have an interview tomorrow morning and cough into it at random times
to
cover up the answers.
I might do that just to F with them a little bit.
You wouldn't want anybody to be out of sorts that John's not there to cough over the interview.
Yeah, people are going to have their morning routines messed up.
That wasn't me, Cody. I immediately, if you go back and listen, you hear me go, hey.
Yeah, I had your back.
I had his back as much as I could, and we've got a guest on.
Yep.
To me, John went overboard. Now, I've been sprayed with bullets before, too. Usually survive. Usually it's not something that kills them or kills you when it happens. I thought Cody took something. He stuck with that. I think that's smart because if you go too far, John will fight dirty. He'll karate fight you, and he'll try to annihilate Cody on the air, which I'm glad that did. I think what Cody went after was fair game. John has become a really bad voice clear. I thought Cody did a nice job there coming back at it. He didn't seem scared. He didn't seem afraid of the OG. He went in there. It's like a prison fight. He went in there, and he showed he wasn't afraid in the lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the OG will also come back at you and potentially have you shanked. So you always have to know that there is a chance that you could get radio shanked at some point. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
There's a chance Cody might get a phone call before he shows up to, where are you guys at, Drift Bar today?
Hopefully that didn't happen. I'm just here to tell you, my official stance is that Cody did not cross any lines.
Okay.
That John started it. And Cody responded, and I thought it was inside fair. I thought it was fair play, as the British people say. Fair play.
Yeah, John's jab felt more below the belt than Cody's.
I would
did.
Agree with that.
Yeah.
I think clearing your throat is not something that feels personal. It felt accurate.
Right. Everybody can hear it.
It felt accurate.
Uh-huh.
I felt like John maybe went too far just because
Yeah.
He couldn't think of anything clever
to
say.
With the guest on, too, you're supposed to be courteous when you have a guest in your place.
Well, a guy who's worked here, who knows Cody.
Who knows Cody?
Knows John. Like,
yeah.
We all
he respects
in the same
Cody.
Circle. Yeah.
Cody's been to radio events with me and John as hosts.
I will say this.
He's been a part of the show.
If I was the guest, I would have been like, yeah, you're Cody's so fat. If I was just a random guy on another radio show who didn't know who Cody was, but like, yeah, that guy's huge,
just
man.
To try to.
Could you imagine being him?
Oh. Just to try to make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stir the pot. Or boat stir. Or yacht stir. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's not ship. It's boat or yacht. Or I don't know what you're talking about.
You're stirring things. That's for sure.
I don't know.
It's getting poked at and stirred. Okay. So that's what happened. Show on show. We had it. I just caught a little bit of a stray from Cody because he's been listening long enough. He knows that I have been that guy in the past. And I will on occasion clear my throat. But I'm so much better than I used to be. You can't put it on me anymore, Cody. It's not me. It's John. I didn't say anything bad about it. I think you're doing a great job on the wheelhouse, 3-7.
You're checking
and,
your notes
and I thought, for let the record reflect, I thought that what Cody said was inside the lines of play. Okay?
Okay.
So when that jumps off, because somebody's going to tattletale and snitch to John, and he's going to come back here, have something to say. Hopefully he comes back and says, you know what? I crossed the line, Cody. Hopefully we can be friends. And then, like Billy Bats did, and then, now go get your shine box. And then it's going to really turn into, like, it'll be even worse.
Well, you know what I'm going to tell
That's
Cody?
That's how he does. John is the Billy Bats of this station.
I'm going to tell Cody later today that you were dogging him this morning.
Don't do that.
Yep.
Don't do that. I'm here anyway, so I'll see Cody. Baby. I'll see Cody so I can get to him before you can, because I'm already here when he's here.
He'll believe me over you.
I never leave. He won't believe you. He knows what kind of person you are. Hey, I know what kind of person Craig DeCerf is. Good person, great person, former bodybuilder. Not like that now. Friends with Lee Labrada. These are just little tidbits of information that you didn't have to know, but now you know. And he's also a guy who will go out of his way. Like, there are dealerships that are taking advantage of the shortage of cars, and they are crushing people right now. Crushing people. Craig DeCerf fundamentally does not believe in that. He has never he will not sell a vehicle over sticker price ever. That's just not what they're going to do. They're going to give you the highest value they can find for your trade-in. They will never go over sticker price, and they will go out of their way to find every single reduction in price that they can. Dealer cash back, financing opportunities and options. You can go online right now to LanceZCars.com and find a 0% financing they have available, or $1,000 dealer cash back and bonus cash back on the 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT Edition, 0% financing for most of the vehicles they have in stock for the Chevys in general. So whether it's Chevy, GMC, they've got great 0% financing offers. But the thing you need to know is that they stick with their MO, which is the best prices, the best possible selection they can get for you, the best trading value, and service after the sale that no one can touch. That's Chevy. That's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com, located in Angleton. That's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
9:23 here on The Bench. Quick segment here. Paul Daner is going to join us from The Athletic to talk about the Bengals in a second. What are your thoughts on if Tom Brady shuts it down? So I've been doing sports long enough that I remember the departure of Michael Jordan, which happened in conjunction with Hakeem Olajuwon. The whole incredible group of 80s basketball players, they all kind of exited around the same time. Some guys hung on longer than others. Some went out earlier than others. But the departure of Jordan for the NBA, he was not – well, actually, he went out a champ in 98. I think Jordan's the loss of Jordan and the loss of the other players from the Jordan era had an unbelievable impact on the NBA in a negative way. And there was a huge downturn in the NBA that lasted for quite some time. I think the bringing LeBron in, well, I say that was 98, but it wasn't until 2003 where you had Carmelo, LeBron, Dwayne Wade. That draft class was a big part of a movement towards much better basketball, better players. I look at the NFL now, and the NFL certainly is a much better place. I mean, they're a much more stable sport than maybe basketball was in the late 90s. But I wonder if Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady were to both shut it down this year. And you can point to, oh, Josh Allen. You can point to more good quarterbacks. But the NBA wasn't the same when you didn't have Michael Jordan in the league. Mm-hmm. Is the NFL going to be the same with the two guys who are likely to finish 1 and 2 in the MVP voting if they were both to shut it down? That's never happened in history where 1 and 2 in MVP voting was gone from the league.
Right.
How much of a hit does the NFL take, especially if Kyler Murray doesn't develop into a star, if Lamar Jackson doesn't start showing better growth than we've seen, because he has not been the same player since he won the MVP a couple years ago. If these young quarterbacks that everyone assumed were going to take off, if they don't take off and become the next great thing, is Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford's not a young quarterback. I mean, he came in the league and I want to say, was it 09?
Something like 08 maybe?
08, yeah. So he's not young. He's still got time. Yeah. Does the NFL take a hit if Rodgers and Brady aren't there anymore? And I say both of them because if Brady goes, you could liken that to Jordan being gone. Mm-hmm. Let's start with just Brady. What does that mean to the NFL?
A lot. I mean, the guy's been the face of the league for a long time. And, yeah, I think it'll be a hit for the NFL. Now, there are some great young quarterbacks, so I don't think the league is going to completely fall off just without Tom Brady. But he's been the face of the league for a long time, so not having him will be weird for sure. And then if you throw Rodgers into the mix, like Rodgers, for better or for worse, and I think most people would argue for worse, has kind of been the face of the NFL this year. Like, hasn't he been the most talked about guy in football this season?
I'd say so, yeah.
Like, if both of those guys leave, the guy who's been the face for a long time and the guy who's kind of become the face over the last year, once again, for better or for worse, both of those guys leave. Obviously, you're losing a lot of talking points and you're losing two of the best to ever do it. So it might take some time for the league to fully recover if both of those guys leave in the same offseason.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the NFL obviously would be fine, but I just wonder, because when LeBron leaves, there will be a hole in the league that, because he is this generation's Jordan. I mean, there's no way around it. No matter what you think of LeBron, his imprint on the game is undeniable. When he leaves, there is going to be a hole in basketball. even with John Morant and all these great young talents, Steph Curry will still be around. But when LeBron leaves, there is going to be a hole in basketball. And let's say he doesn't leave for another 2 years. The way James Harden, how much he's put on his legs over the years, the way he lives and parties and stuff like that, is there any guarantee that James is the same guy? As a matter of fact, a little later on, I want to get to something Kevin McHale said on, I think it was the Killer Bees, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was on with them. Kevin McHale had a comment about James Harden that I thought was interesting. It made me start thinking about, do we have to look at James differently than we did just 2 years ago? Is he already becoming a lesser version of who he used to be? So, Rodgers, I think you're taking out the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah.
Brady, you're taking out the face of the league and one of the great, and the Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan of his sport.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean to football? Maybe nothing. It meant a lot to basketball. It meant a lot to golf, but football is a different animal. Just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. Paul Daner coming up next from The Athletic Talk. Cincinnati Bengals playoff football.
ESPN. 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joining us right now is Paul Daner. He is with The Athletic. He covers the Cincinnati Bengals. And right off the bat, Paul, I want to ask you a question. First of all, thanks for joining us, and good luck in the matchup this weekend. Have fun covering that, I should say. But one of the things that kind of bothers me a little bit is that people default to the Bengals being the Browns, I think, in terms of their narrative. Well, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. But Marvin, but that's the thing, though. You've got Marvin Lewis actually got to the playoffs several times. The Bengals haven't been the slappy organization that has been a laughing stock of the league. And yet somehow I think people have this narrative that the Bengals have been this sad sack organization for a long time. I feel like sometimes they conflate the Bengals and the Browns at times. Do you find that to be the case as well?
I might be too close to it because I know that's not the case, but I think maybe nationally you just kind of lump the bottom of the AFC North together, although the Bengals haven't been the bottom of the AFC North. I mean, if you look at since it became the North, I mean, the Steelers, I believe, have, off the top of my head, I believe they have 8 or 9 North titles, and then the Ravens and Bengals are right there, 6 and 5, and then the Browns don't have any. So it's not, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not like the Bengals haven't been relevant. They've been relevant. They had 5 straight playoff teams. They had multiple teams that won division titles in 05 and 09. And, you know, it's just the 90s existed. It started the ownership, the jokes about ownership, 31 years without a playoff win. I mean, those things just seem to be the easy thing to say, right? It's just the easy way to blanket a team in flyover country that never has played on this stage, at least not for an entire generation of fans to see. And so, yeah, it becomes easy to just kind of lump it in with, like, oh, yeah, you know, the losers from Ohio, I guess.
Paul, is Joe Burrow bigger than Jesus up there?
Jesus is still pretty strong. We're in the Midwest. yeah. So I don't know. We have to think about it. But he's challenging. He's definitely challenging. I mean, there's nothing this guy can certainly do no wrong. And I don't, you know, I don't know what else you say about somebody who had this much hype. You know, it's in sports, in life, so rarely does anything live up to massive hypes. It just doesn't happen. You know, it seems like it's always going to fall short of what people hope it can be. And then there's this is the opposite. I mean, the hype was through the roof and he somehow exceeded it to in year two. In year one, he had his knee eviscerated in Washington. To year two, have this team feeling like the coolest in the league and playing in the AFC championship game and playing at a level on par with the best quarterbacks in the league already. You know, it's unbelievable what he's been able to do in just a short amount of time. And this, yes, the city is this is as beloved any Bengals team has ever been in its, you know, 50-plus year history. And that includes the teams that went to the Super Bowl in the 80s. There's such a connection between city and team and an embracing of Burrow and everything that he's about that it's just it's something special he's got going here.
I think it is interesting. He did the same thing in Baton Rouge with the LSU team, where there is just a special – and, you know, interestingly enough, you also had the same wide receiver, Jamar Chase, on that team in 19 when they went undefeated and the entire city came together. And, you know, just it's going to always – Joe will always hold a special place in his heart. If you go back to the 2020 draft, though, there was buzz about Joe Burrow not wanting to play for Cincinnati or in Cincinnati. He quickly snuffed that out. And I doubt that even became a thing after he was drafted, because Joe certainly appears to be all in there. But I wonder if it was that. Do you remember the talking points about Joe Burrow, and would he want to go to an organization like Cincinnati? How was that playing out in Cincinnati before the draft?
Well, it really wasn't relevant here because it was never true. I mean, it was kind of just this thing that somehow became this like national talking point, but nobody in the Bengals in any conversations with them ever had that idea. And nobody out of Burrow's camp had ever said anything like that. And nobody had ever actually asked Burrow directly about that. And you know, the idea was that Cincinnati, a place where quarterbacks go to die, was just this like completely non-factual thing when you looked at the amount of money and the amount of years that Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton received here. Carson Palmer was made the richest quarterback in football almost immediately upon coming here, and had nothing but weapons and talent around him. And Andy Dalton, I mean, we know how many chances he got and how much money he got to succeed here, and had all kinds of talent around him as well. So, you know, the idea that this was some sort of untenable spot was just never, it never made sense. And I understand, like, outside of, you know, cities, things kind of become their own storylines and aren't necessarily in line with what people know to be truth. And that's especially true in a place like Cincinnati that, let's be honest, just natural people don't really think much about. That was never really a thing here. I mean, I specifically remember being at the Combine when Burrow spoke and standing right in front, stalking out the podium, waiting for 45 minutes. So I was right in front to ask the one question that nobody ever asked him. If you're drafted by the Bengals, would you happily go there and play? And he said, of course I would. And it was like, okay, well, that's over. Why didn't anybody ever just ask the guy that? And that was kind of it. And he's been on board with Cincinnati being and embracing being an Ohio guy and all that stuff ever since. And he's kind of called it, you know, the best possible situation that he can imagine being in. And considering he's playing this weekend, hard to argue.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Paul, I was reading your piece in The Athletic about the Bengals' offensive line. I think everybody knows that Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times in the game against the Titans. But it's been a problem all year long. Joe Burrow was sacked more than any quarterback during the regular season as well. I mean, are those issues fixable by this weekend? Is there anything the Bengals can do to prevent the Chiefs from teeing off on Joe Burrow? Or is it just going to have to be Joe Burrow, you know, making things happen with his legs, extending plays, and kind of doing it himself?
I mean, it'd be nice if free agency could start today, right? And to go find some people instead of waiting until March, but that's going to have to be a March issue and a draft issue. For now, this is how they have to win. They need 2 more games where the understanding is, look, these are the guys that we have. This is the system that we're running. And Burrow has been playing on an incredible run of quarterback play right now. And it's not in games that he hasn't been pressured. I mean, he was pressured all game against the Chiefs. They got him down 4 times, but he was running for his life all day. And he threw for 446 yards and 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. That's his superpower, his ability, as anybody that watched him at LSU knows, the pocket presence, the ability to make one guy miss, just to have to feel how to keep his eyes downfield and make those big plays despite a ton of pressure, has been what's really kind of been the underrated nature of this massive season that he's had, is that he's put up all these huge numbers, leading the league in yards per attempt and completion percentage and all the things that he is, doing that while running for his life and doing working the pocket every play. And so that's kind of what it has to be right now. It's how they've won. It's how they have to win. This is their setup. If that means he's going to have to take a bunch of hits, Burrow's the kind of guy that loves it. And it's weird that not many quarterbacks sit there and say, if it means me having to get hit this many times, let's do it, bring it on, give me the hits. he's like that. He's kind of built different that way, and he's embracing that as they know that they need just two more games of it to try to win it all.
Mm-hmm. Real quick follow-up here, Paul. You know, Laramie Tunsil, offensive tackle for the Texans. There's thoughts down here that the Texans might be shopping him around in a trade this offseason. You think the Bengals could be interested? And the Texans, I think, would like to get a first-round pick. The Bengals, we know, at worst, will have the 29th pick in the NFL draft. You think there's any chance Cincy would consider trading their late first-round pick to get a guy like Laramie Tunsil who can help their O-line right away?
They don't really like parting ways with picks. Pretty much never. However, that said, if you are a living, breathing, quality offensive lineman, the Bengals are interested. they will be all offseason. Their roster is packed with guys on multi-year contracts, young offensive core that's all signed through 2023. They have the most cap space of any playoff team, and they have one major issue. So, you know, they're going to be spending, they're going to be willing to spend, willing to take on money in some cases to fix that problem, knowing it's probably the difference between where they're at now and maybe where they may be defending a title, but certainly maybe taking the next step to winning it all. And so if there's somebody out there that's good, like level that Tunsil is, I'm positive that they would be willing to listen.
Yeah, I know they don't like giving draft picks away. They probably also don't like Joe Burrow getting sacked 9 times. So this is
correct.
And I was big team draft Jamar Chase. You have to draft the special guys because you can fix the offensive line. And look where the Bengals are now because of Jamar Chase and not Penei Sewell. But this is a pretty good draft for tackles. But the window for success is accelerated for the Bengals, maybe faster than people expected. So that's why I wonder if they will take a look at a guy like Laramie Tunsil and maybe saying, look, let's speed this process up. But you got to be all in on the player, Laramie Tunsil, as well. So we'll see if that happens. Before we let you go, in this game, a lot's going to be made about Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, obviously. T. Higgins has had a great year. Tyler Boyd, very effective. C.J. Uzomah has become a very, very important piece of in terms of attacking the seams. But Joe Mixon is still the guy to me that on any given day can really flip a game on its head because he does have that ability as a pass catcher and especially as a runner who can take pressure off of that Bengals pass protection unit. What do you see what do you expect to see from Joe Mixon and the running game headed in against the Chiefs?
You know, I mean, they've only scored 3 offensive touchdowns in 2 games, and they're only, the one they had against Tennessee was the one drive where the running game finally showed some signs of life, and Mixon busted a 16-yarder for a touchdown in Tennessee. I mean, they go from great and already scary to a complete nightmare when the running game is actually going alongside of everything. The problem is, the last couple of months in this run, as the offensive passing game has heated up, the efficiency of the running game has really gone down. I mean, they have hardly averaged more than 3 or 4 yards per carry in any game over that stretch. And I mean, there was a point in time where the running game was really carrying them, and during the course of the season when they were being more conservative in really putting Burrow out there. And so, I mean, yes, they would love to establish Mixon, and when they get him going, it's great. Teams are offering light boxes, but the Bengals are just not punishing those light boxes efficiently enough. So I think that rather than waste too many snaps worrying about punishing a light box when it just hasn't proven to be effective enough, they're just kind of letting Burrow continue to do his thing. You're still going to see Mixon get his carries. He's going to get his 10, 15, 16 carries. They're going to throw it to him. You're absolutely right. Screens, that type of stuff that can take pressure off of your offensive line. They're going to want to utilize those, and that can be a game changer. There's no doubt. But as a pure runner, you know, that it unfortunately for them just has not really clicked the last couple of months. If it does, I mean, then they're the absolute nightmare of how you stop that.
Well, I'm hoping for good games again. When we had them last week, we'll see if we get them again. But regardless of what happens, obviously the Bengals are the team that a lot of people are circling as the next big come-up team like the Kansas City Chiefs were a couple of years ago. So we will see if that takes place. That's Paul Danner from the Athletic. He covers the Bengals. You can check out his work on the Athletic. They do great work. And, of course, my draft podcast can be found with Dane Brugler every week on Wednesdays. We put that out under the NFL podcast feed as well. Paul, thanks so much for joining the morning show here on the bench. We appreciate it, and have fun at the playoffs.
No problem, Lance. We'll be talking to you soon. I'll be hitting you up on the other side here.
Let me know. I'm around. I'm not going anywhere. You know why I'm not going anywhere? Because of Maestro Dobell. Because I got my tequila. That's why. Mm. I got the finest tequila maker. 11 generations of tequila makers, okay? 11 generations. Some of you might have 6 generations. That's not 11. That's what we have, 100% blue agave, and there's a ton of different varietals. So I actually have 4 different types of Maestro Dobell. I have the silver, I have the smoked silver, I have the reposado, and the añejo. The añejo is what I like to, the silver and the smoked silver I use for cocktails, the reposado for cocktails and for sipping, and the añejo is what Tyler and I will drink on a Friday afternoon when I bust it out of my refrigerator and we have a little smooth sipping tequila. And you can find the flavors and the aromas and the finish that you love with one of the varietals from Maestro Dobell. It's made better than any place else. They've got Cristalinos, which are charcoal filtered versions of their tequila. And I can promise you right now, whether you are an aficionado or you're someone who really wants to get deeper into the dive in tequilas, they have a tequila that is right for you, from margaritas to cocktails to sipping. They are your spot. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you are going to find your new tequila, Maestro Dobell.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so John's not here, so it will be an abbreviated version of News of the Weird. I've never actually done a News of the Weird, so hopefully I'll do a good job of this. But we'll start off with nipples.
Always and, a great place to start.
Yeah, I think you start with that when you get a chance to. There's an Australian woman. Now, you've heard a lot of people say, well, ever since this vaccine or ever since I've had COVID, one or the other, this is, and some of it probably is, it did happen.
Yeah.
And some of it is like, are you sure the vaccine did that to you?
Well, my bets are hitting at an all-time low since getting the COVID vax, so I think those two things.
There could be something. Yeah. It could have altered brain chemistry in terms of how you make your picks.
I think so.
Well, an Australian woman recently went on TikTok to say that she thinks that the COVID vaccine, Pfizer, I'm a Moderna guy, that it may have had an issue with her.
So everyone's been pointing out to me that in all my videos, you can see my headlights. My headlights are on. Your headlights are on. I can see thingies. Yes, I know. I can't help it. And I'm trying to work out why that's happening, especially on a 40-degree day. And I've worked out that I had the double vaccination and I had Pfizer. Now, ever since then, my headlights have been on. 40-degree days. Headlights on. Walking around the supermarket. Headlights on. Laying in front of a heater. Headlights on. Has anyone else had this problem because of the double vaccination, or am I the only person that's just stuck with their high beams on all fucking time?
Whew.
Wow.
Aaron, have you had a problem with your headlights being on since if you got the vaccine? I don't even know.
I have not.
No problem, Brad?
No, I mean, I had a little radio interference when I first got back.
Yeah.
Like, it was anytime I would talk on the air, there was a bunch of white noise coming through, according to listeners.
I've had government tracking me for... The government's been tracking me since last January when I got my first one, but I have not had the... Yeah, you're looking down yours. Is it a problem that you can see?
I got the
Pfizer. I don't have the headlight
issue. Got the Pfizer one, too, and I haven't noticed...
You got Pfizer?
...any headlights, and I still don't notice any headlights, so not a problem that I'm having. I would say it's a solution for her.
Have you ever... I bet your TikTok account has gained more followers.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that the goal if you've got a TikTok account?
She's making more money because her headlights.
Pfizer says, you're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever driven without a license or known someone who's driven without a license? Maybe their license was suspended.
Me personally, no. Known somebody, yes.
How long did they do it for? Did they get caught?
Didn't get caught. Don't know anybody who's been caught. A couple months.
Okay.
It's the longest I know about.
Well, there's somebody who's done it longer.
Okay.
A man in his 80s was finally caught when police stopped him next to a Tesco Extra store in Bulwell, Nottinghamshire. That's a real place, Nottinghamshire.
Is that in Florida? Where is that? Dakota?
You know where that is. Nottinghamshire? Could only be England.
Yeah.
So on January 26th, he was described as being very unsteady on his feet and hard of hearing in a post about the incident shared by Nottinghamshire Police. Officers pulled over the man's blue Mini and approached the driver, who was born in 1938, while with the post explaining that the elderly man then coughed that he had been driving with no license and no insurance since he was 12 years old.
No.
He started driving when he was 12. So since the 1950s, he has been driving with no insurance, no license, and I am presuming a paper plate. Because that's what I see a lot of on the Houston roadways.
That's incredible.
Have you known anyone, because this is how John does this, have you known anyone who's driven since the 1950s without a license?
No.
It's a pretty good run, sir.
That's amazing. He didn't get pulled over, didn't get in any wrecks, nothing that would have required him to show his license?
Nothing. You ever been in a pillow fight?
Wow. Probably.
It's not something you think about.
No.
Did you know that there's a pillow fighting league?
PFL.
It's the PFL.
Okay.
PFC, I think it is. Yeah. Pillow Fight Championship.
Got it.
It's a real thing. I was watching videos the other day, got in a little rabbit hole, but it's not like you think you're in a rabbit hole and then you realize there's people hitting each other with pillows. There's no knockouts. There are some occasional knockdowns, but that is a real thing, and they are beginning to try to create pay-per-view for the pillow fighting. So if you go to Pillow Fighting Championship, Google that, you can watch pillow fighting. And it's not sexy pillow fighting.
No.
Yeah, I know. It was all of our hopes and dreams. It'd be sexy pillow fighting. It's just pillow fighting. Straight out pillow fighting.
Hopefully the women involved have taken the Pfizer vaccine, so maybe we can get a little something.
Do you have leisure sickness?
Leisure sickness?
You know what that is?
No.
Well, apparently, leisure sickness is a real thing. You may find yourself burning out at work and therefore very tired. Yeah, right before you go on vacation because you simply have so much to get finished, then it spills over into your beach time. A Dutch psychologist from Tilburg University in Holland interviewed between 1,128 men and 765 women who in high-powered jobs who said that they consume so much work that it transitions their high stress into their vacations with elevated stress levels that make the immune system less effective so that when they go on their vacations, they are exhausted and they cannot recharge.
Sounds like the worst.
Because of all the static that happened between Granado and Cody Stutes, do you anticipate having trouble vacationing the next time you're out?
I'll be okay.
I will too.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. That's going to do it for the bench. Thanks so much for coming in and doing this. I appreciate it. You guys are going to be out at Drift along with the Killer Bees. That's in the Heights. The show's gone from the Killer Bees all the way through the Wheelhouse. You've only got 4 more hours of radio. That's no big deal.
Mm.
We'll be listening in. Thanks so much to Brad Kellner. Thanks to Aaron behind the glass. I am Lance Zierlein. You guys have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.